the question was asked, how are we supposed to deal with the theft or the seeming contradiction between the morals that we aspire to and the behavior that we encounter? So the first thing we have to remember, point number one, is a line that Rabbi Wein coined. Don't confuse Jews with Judaism. Judaism is how we're supposed to live. And Jews are supposed to live that way, but that doesn't mean they do. You know, some Jews adhere to 613 mitzvot, and some Jews are working on adhering to 613 mitzvot, and we all have our weaknesses. In general, this is a point that I like to discuss, because it's a point that very often weakens people. Because a person, let's say, wasn't Jewish or wasn't religious before he came to Machon Meir, and he says, I dealt with very fine people who were not Jewish or were not religious. And then I come here and I learn all about these high, lofty ideals, and then I go out there to the street, or I'm in here in the Machon and I encounter something that's very distant from those lofty ideals. So, point number one is that your connection to Torah and Judaism has to be about whether the Torah is true or not. That's your decision. I mean, you're in the GEAR program. You have to decide whether you believe in this or not. That's your call. No one's trying to convince you. Quite the contrary. That's your decision. And if you choose to go this path, then your connection is to the truth in the Torah and to God. The Jewish people is a point we'll talk about in 1 second. You are connected. A person who does giyur is connected to the Jewish people. But your connection to Torah is about the truth in Torah, not about whether the Jewish people are behaving the way they should or shouldn't. Meaning that's a separate point. So I'm just saying that that has to be very clear. And let me just tell you why. Because we had a story of a person who did giyur here. And he moved out of the country. He moved to a country where people, a country and a place in the country where people are not so observant. So he's the only one in shul who doesn't drive to shul. The shul doesn't have a rabbi. The shul barely has 10 people on Shabbos. He walks to shul. Everyone else in shul drives to shul. Not very observant people, right? But they wouldn't give him an aliyah because he's a ger. I would eat his food. He's a mashgiach today. I would eat anything he serves me. I trust him completely. He's a fine Jew. I wouldn't eat by anyone else in that community. These are people who drive on Shabbos, but they won't give him an aliyah. So now you can imagine how he feels about that. And you'll encounter other paradoxes in life. And your connection to Torah cannot waver based upon, or even though it's trying, but it cannot waver because you encounter things. Or, I had the following story posed to me by a person who did giyur. They're on a college campus. There was a thing for Yom HaShoah, and one of the girls there said to this ger, why do you think you can attend? Your grandparents didn't undergo the Shoah. You don't understand this. This has nothing to do with you. This is a girl who doesn't keep kosher, doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't do anything to do with Judaism. But Yom HaShoah, she feels she can turn to a ger, where there are 24 mitzvot about treating him nicely. That doesn't matter, but she could turn to him and say, you have nothing to do with this, in front of everyone, tell him you don't belong here and kick him out. So there are paradoxes that have nothing to do with Judaism that a ger will face. And we can't control people. The fact that Judaism tells us a certain behavior doesn't mean that we can control it. So if today you're bothered by the petty theft you encounter, and it bothers me too, I'm just preparing you that you're going to be bothered with things that are more personal and are in my opinion, more wrong. They are far more severe in how wrong they are, but they exist, and we don't control them. They are not being performed by the learned people, by the observant people, or like there was once a story that certain people were caught that they were stealing from the government, and they had beards and they had hats and they had the title rabbi. So they went to Rabbi Feinstein and they asked him, Rabbi, what do you say about these rabbis who were caught? What does this say about the rabbinate if these rabbis were caught stealing? So Rabbi Feinstein answered them. He said, let me tell you a story what this is similar to. If you have people who go to a costume store and they rent out policemen uniforms, and then they go and hold up a bank and take all the money, Would you then go and interview the chief of police and tell him, what do you say about what's going on with the police right now? Because, you know, these people dressed up as policemen went and robbed the bank. No, you wouldn't do that, because you'd say, obviously, they were imposters. Well, what can I say? These people with this behavior, they're imposters. I don't care if they have beards and they have titles and everything else. At the end of the day, they're no different than people who rented out a costume and dressed up as policemen. And that's the same thing I could tell you. So point number one is, there are Jews who are not doing what's right, and that's not reflective of the Torah. There's Torah, and the Torah, either you believe in it or don't believe in it, but we believe the Torah is the truth. And when you encounter the paradoxes of how people behave, it's difficult to swallow, but they, unfortunately, are not reflecting what the Torah says. That's point number one. We'll get to you, David, in a few minutes. That's point number one. So far, we're together?
Yeah, it wasn't my sense of truth that was questioned, because it wasn't people from my social club that were corrupt or doing the petty theft. But do you not think that it's unusual that, compared to other countries, there's such a high level?
So let's go to step number two. Step number two is, Machon Meir is not reflective of the world. In Machon Meir, there's an open door, and so long as you're not a terrorist, you can walk in. So we have caught thieves, we have theft here all the time, and we've caught thieves numerous times from outside. And then from inside, you have to realize that when a person wants to come and do tshuva, so different people have different things they have to do tshuva for. And a person could walk into Machon Meir and his past is filled with all kinds of things. And for a lot of people, that's going to include theft. I've been robbed numerous times. That doesn't mean I stop having Machon Meir guys over to my house. You have to remember that you're in a place where people are focusing on becoming better people. So if, let's say, 99% of the people are at a point where they're not going to steal from their fellow man. Well, if you're in an institution with 400 people, that means you have four thieves walking around here, right? If 99% of the people here are not going to steal from anyone, well, out of 400, that means that four are. And all it takes is one, right? So now let's say 99.1 or 0.2, or let's say even say 99.9, but the turnover here is such that we have about 1,000 students going through this place every year. So if 99.9 are at a state where they're not stealing, there's still going to be that one who is. And that one who is, I can tell you, is doing a lot of work. So that's point number two, that Machon Meir is not reflective. And outside Machon Meir, I know in my building there were attempted break-ins last year alone, maybe five times. Five or six times in my building. Not my neighbor, my building. So some of the times we saw who it was. Twice it was Arabs. A third time it was Russians. And Russians are sometimes Jewish, but a lot of them are not. You have whole communities with churches and... in the last 10 years, I think it's 95% of the people who came from Russia are not Jewish. It's just the question is why they bring them. And the other two times, we don't know who it was. No one saw it. So the only times where we actually saw the people, there were people who either were not Jewish or maybe not Jewish. Oh, no, I'm missing the sixth time that happened this year. Then it was a guy dressed as a Jew. Seems like they were doing drugs or something based on other things that were witnessed, but we don't know. I mean, you're right. I'm not saying there aren't Jewish thieves. I'm not saying there aren't Jews who are doing things that are improper. Throughout our history, there were. And there's nothing we could do about it. We try to catch them, we try to teach them, or we try to put them in jail, whatever we have to do. I could tell you a lot of stories. It doesn't matter, but I think so. Those are the three points, if we could sum it up. Point number one is not to confuse Jews with Judaism. And you're going to encounter harsher situations of paradoxes or things that are not in line with what the Torah wants of us that will be more personal. And I'm guaranteeing you this, and this isn't a blessing or a curse, it's just a fact of life, that you will encounter harsher circumstances, and you have to work on not letting that confuse you. That's point number one. Point number two is that Here at Mahon Meir, it's not representative of the world in many ways, and it's and even here at Mahon Meir, I think it should be viewed in a good light. That all in all, you know, most of the people are very, very fine people, and those people are, who knows, maybe they do succeed in doing tshuva on that point too. Rav Bigun says that every year he has students who come to him and ask him how to do tshuva for the thefts they've done. Rav Bigun says that's a standard thing he encounters. So that means that even the people who were thieves have been able to overcome that. And point number three is that a lot of the thefts outside of Mahon Meir are being perpetrated by people who are not Jewish. And the fact of the matter is that the second they close off the entrance for Palestinians into the state, theft goes down and insurance rates go down. I mean, there are statistics to the extent that insurance rates went down the second they closed the gates there for car thefts. And at the end of the day, that's not to say there aren't Jews who are stealing. There for sure are Jews who are stealing, and they have to work on it. And they're imposters. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I don't care if they have a long beard or a short beard or no beard, or they wear a hat or they don't wear a hat, or they wear a big kippah and they have the tzitzis out or not. At the end of the day, they're imposters. They're not in line with the Torah.
If you have a Hebrew mother and father, both.
Give me just one second.